This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It's time to get intimate with Checkpoint Intimates.
You are listening to another episode of Checkpoint Intimates, your weekly video game podcast where two members of the Checkpoint team go one-on-one and get intimate on a particular gaming topic. My name is Ali, joined by Luke.
Yes.
Yeah.
How exciting.
Good.
Good, good.
Luke, what are we talking about?
Well, it's interesting because there was some news that came out over the last week, which it caught my attention, my retro, like, high school Luke attention. It was a story that came out about Flash games. Remember Flash games?
Oh, do I remember Flash games?
So, Flash games were like this, that you literally play them in your browser. So, you go on a website.
They used Adobe Flash.
Adobe Flash, that's
hence,
right.
Flash games.
Correct. There's one website I used to use a lot called Newgrounds.
Yep, Newgrounds, Miniclip.
Yeah, there's
a bunch of them.
Many,
to be honest, yeah.
And people would make their own little cute games, like stick figures and like racing and all kinds of stuff. And then upload them to these sites and everyone would like vote them up or down. They're popular ones. And you just play them in your browser. So there's no need to download things. You just play it. And the good thing about that was you could play it during school if you were on a computer.
Hey.
And I spent way too much time on my laptop in class, not working on things, but doing Flash games. And it was announced that there's this new app that you can download on PCs, like a launcher, called Flashpoint. And what it does is it allows you to play these Flash games again today. Now, these were back in like 2000, 2001. It was probably Newgrounds, like
the heyday of
Newgrounds and Flash games. And so there's all these games that have been developed. Now, there's two ways you can download this. The first one you download, and it includes 36,000 Flash games to choose from. Or you can download
that file.
That's, well, they're Flash games, probably like 2 meg. Or you can download the basic launcher where you only download the games that you want to play, kind of like a Steam type thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's free launcher and the Flash games are all free. But I will say the size of the download for all the games, as you asked, Elliot, it's 241 gigabytes.
It's a lot of gigabytes.
It's not that much, though, really, when you think about it.
Like,
it
is, bigger, but it isn't. Bigger than a normal game would be, but yes.
Sure. I mean, yeah. Unless it's like, you know, one of those, like, Fortnite's like 80 gig now.
But if you're thinking of the history of Flash games, yeah, I guess it doesn't sound like that much.
It's 36,000 games. I mean, if you liked Flash games, that would set you up for life. But you can build your own little archive and revisit these Flash games. And it kind of got me thinking, and I know you too, Elliot, of like, wow, how far have we come since Flash games were like this fantastic way of, you know, playing these great games on your browser.
And look, here's why this is important, because, you know, as old systems are no longer supported and stuff like Flash starts to die out, all of a sudden all these games are no longer playable and they just become outdated and lost to time. And we hate things being lost to time because, you know, we're collectors, we're gamers, we have nostalgia for these old properties and, you know, whatever, they're Flash games, sure, they might have been cheaper and easier to make, but they could still be impactful. They could still be, you know, noteworthy and memorable. And it sucks to think that quite possibly there is a future where these things no longer exist and are literally forgotten to time. That's why this is such an awesome thing. It's maintaining.
And look at it this way. I mean, today you can upload a game through like Steam, for example, or other game launchers and get your game out there. But back then, this is like pre-Steam. So back in the day, you either had to distribute your own game through like your online website portal as a downloadable, purchasable thing, which was a lot of work to do by yourself. Or you'd need to go through like consoles. You need to be on a PlayStation or an Xbox or a Nintendo. And there just wasn't this sort of online PC easy launching presence like there is now today with Steam and
Epic
and so
discs.
Forth.
No, you'd have discs.
Yeah, you'd physical discs as well. Yeah,
you'd
absolutely.
You'd go into stores and buy discs. I got a lot from cereal boxes.
Yeah, which meant there were plenty of games that would have been impossible to actually put out, especially when they're like little adventures or little stick figure games or like whatever you would have on there.
Yeah, because to get your game out there and in physical stores, you need a publisher, you need a distributor, you need a lot of paperwork, you need a lot of money.
That's
and
right.
Sometimes games are not not being made for those purposes. Sometimes they're just small little experiences that people want to put out there.
Yeah, so Newgrounds in 2000 was the first website to be a Flash website with an automated submission system, which meant that if you were making a game on Flash, as a developer, as someone practicing, even just giving it a go, you could submit it easily, and people could play it and rate it, and there were plenty of games that got really big notoriety. They ended up having full series, you know, and as you'd see developers start off with a really basic concept, and then like their seventh or eighth game would be like this elaborate thing that expands on all those ideas in huge ways, and it was just so accessible, especially because they were all free, and you'd play them on your browser, which meant you could just dabble in them, and you'd try things, and if it was crap, you'd move on to the next one. It was just so simple to get this really wide taste of different things that were happening, which, again, you couldn't do even as a consumer side of things. It would save you going and purchasing, like, another game for your console, which at the time was, like, $100 each. Mm-hmm. You'd have these little adventures and little experiences that you could have on your browser in the Flash game. So it's really cool that it's, you know, in a way being preserved in this way through this launcher.
Do you remember your time with Flash games? Were there any games that, like, immediately spring to mind? You're like, oh my god, Flash games.
So when I think about Flash games, I think this is a common one, actually, to be honest. I think about this one particular dude on Newgrounds who made these stick figure karate kung fu type games. You know what I'm talking about?
I think I know the literal series you're talking about.
Yeah, and I can't remember the name of it, but it started out with just this dude doing, like, your kung fu and stuff like that. And then it was, like, stick figure versus stick figure, and, like, they had, like, a kendo stick and doing moves and stuff. And then it would evolve, and it would be like, instead of a one-on-one game, now it was like a side-scrolling kung fu game with stick figures. And then after that, it incorporated, like, boss battles and stuff. And then you'd be on, like, a motorbike, like, with a stick figure, like, riding around. And the graphics would get, like, slightly better each time. I know it kept happening, and it got to a point where there was, like, you know, the same developer did, like, 30 games. And each one got, like, progressively more in-depth with this stick figure combat.
Could it have been stick RPG?
I don't think so. That doesn't
stick
sound familiar.
Stick Arena?
No, I don't think so.
I'm trying to find it.
Oh,
I'm,
you're like, searching
I'm
now.
Furiously
you're like
Googling while you're describing this game.
But it was just something about it. And I think at the same time, another one that stands out to me, and it wasn't actually a game. It was like a Flash series that was on Newgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
Strong Bad.
Oh, I don't know anything about this.
Strong Bad. Oh, you don't remember Strong Bad?
Help me out.
So Strong Bad was literally this creation, which was this kind of angry dude, Strong Bad. He was this strong...
Oh, yeah, with like the... Red, what are those masks called?
Lucha
like
Libre.
Yeah, yeah.
Red mask, like a wrestler, boxer-looking type thing. And he was part of the Homestar Runner series of Flash web cartoons, and Strong Bad would like answer emails from people that would send them in, and he would like tear them apart. So he'd be like, Strong Bad, I'm having trouble with my relationship, and he's like, ah, get a new girlfriend, you idiot. Like, he would just like be really angry and aggressive. They ended up making a Strong Bad RPG later down the track as well. There was an actual console release they did, and a Steam release. Strong Bad got so popular answering emails that he became this kind of internet sensation. Like, before memes were a thing, Strong Bad was like a thing, you know? And, you know, it was the platform of Newgrounds and other Flash platforms that really gave these creators a bit of life and a bit of agency to come up with their own stuff and put it out there for free without having to be going through publishers and all these other sort of hoops that you have to jump through normally when it comes to development.
Yeah, it's, I mean, for me, the one Flash game that really stood out that I remembered, and it wasn't even... You know, like, I was definitely of the age where people were talking about Flash games in the kind of playground. At primary school, like, people were talking about and sharing what Flash games they liked, and there were popular ones that kept, like, kind of coming up and being at the top of Newgrounds and Miniclip and places like that. But I actually found a Flash game called, and I still remember it vividly, it was called Grid 16. And I reckon, for my money, even though it was free, for my money, that was the best Flash game I had ever played. And I'll give you the basic premise of it. There are 16 mini games, and you are randomly assigned one of them.
Nice.
And it's just this, like, the first time you play it, you have no idea what to do, but they're all very easy to learn, right? And you pick it up, and you've got a time limit, and you've got to keep yourself alive and not fail that mini game. And then after that time, it'll jump to the next one randomly. And it'll keep going through these 16 different mini games until you fail one, and then that one's cut off.
Right.
And so, eventually, the time gets quicker and quicker and quicker, and the games get harder and harder and harder the further you progress, and eventually you'll fail all 16, because you just have to, because the games get so ridiculously fast.
Yep.
And that was it. And I spent so long playing Grid 16, just pumping through these mini games time after time after time, trying to beat my high scores, and I don't know, I was obsessed with it for a bit.
Some of these, excuse me, some of these games really capture your imagination. They really make you kind of, they're addictive too. You know, it's kind of like how mobile games are today.
Yeah.
You know, mobile games today actually have a lot to owe Flash games of old, because so many mobile games today, they are this really simple concept, and you just do it over and over and over again.
Yep.
You know, I believe there were some games like Bejeweled and stuff that Flash started as a Flash game before they were made into like proper properties.
Yep, absolutely.
And you know, I think that it's that kind of quick pick up and play aspect where they're super simple. The controls are never really complex. It's like space bar is jump and that's it, you know, or whatever else. And you might left and right. That's all you do is you move. And that makes them really, really simple and accessible to play and really appealing. So you can get a new Flash game and try it out and you instantly know what to do. There's nothing complicated about it. And if you have one like that one you mentioned, Grid 16, it sort of just captures that quick fix that you need.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got a break in class. The teacher's turned their back for a couple of minutes.
Yep.
I'll just do this quick play of Grid 16 and not react too loudly if I get a high score, because then they'll know that I'm not paying attention. But yeah, that sort of quick, accessible. I remember they even went as far as they had, I don't know if the ones you played had this, but there was like a button at the bottom right that was like a panic button when you were playing them, and you'd press it so it would throw up a random like Excel spreadsheet to make it look like you were doing work.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
So if you were playing them at
no,
work,
I don't remember that.
Someone, your boss would walk past, you hit the panic button and it would spit out this random spreadsheet with a graph. Obviously it doesn't work for all industries and didn't work for high school very well, but definitely, you know, it's cute that they went as far as to go, we know that our market is people playing this at work on their browser when they're not supposed to. Like, that's when you spend your time wasting the hours away playing these Flash games. And I remember I spent a long time doing that in high school. So it definitely appealed in that quick fix video game sense. And also it meant you weren't, you know, loading up a cartridge and spending a long time installing something and going through all that process as well. Because that, to this day, with games, is a big flaw where you have to install.
They were instantaneous. Like,
yeah.
And they were done. They were free. And I think that's a big thing as well. Like, as kids, we didn't have heaps of money or the ability to just spend our parents' money on video games.
No.
So we often had to turn to Flash games as a source of entertainment, because we were gamers, whether we were playing big narratives or not. We were still gamers, just playing some Flash games.
Absolutely.
And I think we're seeing, you kind of mentioned it before with mobile games, but we're seeing Flash games, even if the Flash software is really not being utilized anymore and is a dying kind of software, we're still seeing the mentality of Flash games surviving in, you know, the mobile scene or even the really niche indie game scene. A lot of .io games, which is just an internet domain, like are maintaining that kind of, you know, cheaper, easier to make style, quick fix video games that are still like incredibly popular and still sticking around. And Flash games is where it kind of all started, because I know Flash was just such an easy entry point for like a developer. Like, they could jump in, learn Flash, understand it, and produce some stuff. Now, they're still talented. I don't want people to think I'm saying it's easy, like I could do it. I don't think I could do it, but it's definitely one of those things where it sparked a lot of imagination from people and they jumped in and they made their games.
It's entry level too. And the thing with Flash is that you don't need to be a super experienced game developer to jump into Flash. I think it was there as a tool where you could kind of muck around with it. I think that's really useful for kids. I remember, I don't know if you had this when you were in school, but I did. There were classes where we would make Flash animations.
Right, yep. No, we had those classes too.
Yeah, and that was just how we were learning.
I was never good at it.
Yeah, neither was I. I was garbage at it. It's like, oh, stop motion, whatever. But like, you know, it was kind of like what today I imagine they must have, like coding classes and things like that, because, you know, coding and that IT world is so important in today's sort of job society. But yeah, I remember we had classes that we'd make Flash games and stuff, and, you know, it was a great excuse to play Newgrounds for research. But yeah, I think, you know, kids could start with Flash, and even a kid today could start with Flash, because it is a tool that you can use pretty easily on your home computer. It's not super, you know, high-tech or stressful, and can get you start and seeing if that kind of thing interests you.
And there was a beauty to the fact that there were so many people making these games not for profit as well. Like, Flash games were never big properties that were being sold and charged. Right. They were being made just for the creative kind of flair to it. I think a lot of people made Flash games just because they enjoyed the process of making games, and maybe who knows where they moved on to from that process after the fact.
Because that's a big problem with today's game industry, right? Is that, you know, unfortunately, you know, to make games and do your own thing, it's a fantastic idea to do that. But in reality, you got to pay bills. You can't work on a game all day, every day, and not eat and pay your rent and stuff. So the idea of, like, you know, funding yourself and making money from an end product is so important. And yeah, I think, you know, Flash games back in the day, it, like indie developers today, it just allows for the autonomy, it allows for those points of view to do what you want and put it out there in the world and not worry about whether it makes money or not. It was a thing of passion if you made a Flash game and put it on these stores. And these guys who made, like, guys and girls, made like 20 Flash games from one series because they got so much love on Newgrounds, people upvoting them and stuff. I mean, that's really cool that people committed to doing that sort of thing. So,
I still think even some of the most popular ones have turned into like Steam PC releases stuff like that. Like, they have the kind of momentum to continue and to turn what was a hobby into a genuine career for some people. And
and
that's cool. That's really cool. Do you remember the Impossible Quiz?
Yeah, I do.
Let's end it on a weird note, because the Impossible Quiz, fairly confident was a Flash game, was...
I think it was.
The biggest thing for a while, at least in my school. Like, everybody was talking about the Impossible Quiz. Everybody played the Impossible Quiz.
What was the Impossible Quiz?
It was just a ludicrous quiz that tried to stump the player constantly. And if you got it wrong, you had to start from the beginning. And it was impossible because it was incredibly hard. And because the game would literally just trick you at every single moment. Like, you had to figure out what the game wanted you to do, and if you weren't able to do that, right back to the beginning for you, until you work it out and move forward. And it was genuinely funny, and I think that's why it connected with a lot of people. It was funny, it was quirky, it was like, it felt random at times, but also there was some logic to it, and there was a way to think like the developer and to figure it out.
And we, to this day, still see mobile games now just exactly that.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, you know, get through this level, and you got to, like, drag the word from the question into the level to make it go to the next page. Exactly. Things like that, like silly, irreverent things, answers to quizzes that doesn't really make sense. You know, that's still fun to this day. And I think there were literally complete genres of games from mobile, especially that was spawned from the Flash era. And we have a lot to thank for that. And so, again, really cool that we can now get Flashpoint to go back and experience these again. Are you gonna go back? Are you going to get Flashpoint and just give it a go for a laugh?
Yeah, part of me really wants to.
Well, it's free, right? Like, why not?
Yeah.
Try out some games from your childhood.
I'm wondering how good that launcher is and the search functionality and the user interface. Well, and
there's only one way to find out, mate.
There's only one way to find out. But I'm glad Flashpoint exists. Yes. Kudos. Let's keep those games alive.
Yeah.
Because they have legacy. They have memories. Correct. They were important in their own way.
More accessible gaming history, please.
Yes.
Across the board.
Let's make a gaming museum.
Let's do it. You and me.
You can do most of the heavy lifting.
That sounds fair. And expected.
But that is all the time we've got for this week's podcast. Talking about Flash games and, you know, historically keeping them alive so they don't get lost to time. Luke, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Elliot.
My name has been Elliot. And join us next week for more intimate goodness. We'll see you then.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Intimates. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate and subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.